Rajdhani. The assembly elections are done and dusted, but is the writing on the wall for the 2024 general election? That's certainly what the Prime Minister seems to suggest after calling it a done deal. The opposition definitely has its work cut out. The BJP is on a strong wicket. Its morale that was hit by the loss in Bengal has been hugely boosted with the wins in 4 out of 5 states last week, especially UP. It's not that there weren't issues. The economy has been hurting, prices are high, unemployment is a huge problem, and COVID mismanagement was there for everyone to see. So why wasn't the opposition able to take this to the people? And how did the BJP overcome this anti-incumbency? More importantly, is 2024 once again going to be about Modi versus the rest? And is that advantage BJP? Well, joining us first on The Big Fight tonight is Dinesh Trivedi, senior leader of the BJP. Thank you, Mr. Trivedi. Good to see you again, even though it is on television.
Thank you, Nidhi ji.
Just to ask you first, is it a little premature to say that 2024 is a done deal?
Nidhi ji, I think before this election started, whichever channel I was watching, it was the commentator who were telling that this is a semi-final. Whatever BJP does, I think it is a much bigger ideology. And it is not power for the sake of power. I think it's a bigger picture of India. And that work never stops. And elections will come and go. But work for the people. That is why this mantra, Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, or Sabka Vishwas. So yes, people of this country have seen the benefit of working with the BJP, and that is what is the Vishwas of the people which the BJP has won.
How much of that Vishwas and Vikas has to do with polarization, and how much of it has to do with schemes and welfare schemes, etc., which have been a success as well? But how much of it is polarization and how much of it is the rest in your view?
I couldn't get your question. Can you please repeat it?
I was asking how much of that Vishwas is polarization and how much of it is based on the welfare schemes and of the government and genuine Vikas?
I think the polarization is much more on the television channels. And I think for too long a time, successive political parties barring the BJP have taken the people of this country for granted. And if you see again, except BJP, it has become a family business for all the parties. And I can sort of challenge you to disagree with me. And people of this country have realized, you see, the direct delivery, Jan Dhan and Aadhaar connected with mobile, no corruption, irrespective of caste, creed, color, religion, region, the poor of this country are the direct beneficiary. So no matter what we discuss on television channel, I think sometimes, television channels, I'm sorry to say, get disconnected with the real issue. Real issue actually is Vikas. Real issue actually is security of the country.
I don't disagree with you that these are important issues for voters, and obviously there was much more to this election than just a negative campaign. But if Vikas is at the heart of the campaign, then what is the need for comments like 80-20? What is the need to, for the UP chief minister to make disparaging remarks about Muslims on television channels in interviews? What is the need for communally, charged statements that are made right from the top? Why bring those in at all in the campaign then?
I think, again, that was all so-called the liberals and so-called the seculars. I think it was much more discussion there. I think Yogiji clarified that it is 80% who are going to vote for the BJP and 20% is going to vote with the divided opposition. I think it was made absolutely clear. But in spite of that, and in spite of understanding this, still if television channels keep on discussing, that's what we are taking people of this country for granted.
But
I think we didn't put words in his mouth when
he described Muslims in a certain language, which I can't repeat on TV, but there is a certain word he used for them, so that we didn't put those words in his mouth, for example. So why resort to that at all? Why wasn't a single Muslim candidate fielded by the BJP? I'm not disagreeing with you on the Vikas point.
Nidhi, we have to grow and become mature in this country and do not talk about Muslim vote or Hindu vote. It is an Indian vote by which the BJP is winning. A Muslim is also as much as an Indian. It is very unfortunate when we start dividing them on television channel. Sabka Vikas, Sabka Vishwas, when directly through Jandhan.
Sure, but when then a benefit why goes, not a single Muslim candidate?
They don't
candidate?
Discriminate. They don't
then why not a single Muslim candidate
please understand,
in UP?
They do not discriminate that the benefit is going to a Muslim or a Hindu or a Christian or a Sikh.
I'm asking electorally, why not a single Muslim candidate?
I personally feel at the end of the day, let us not start dividing the entire debate based on community, caste. I think India has moved forward. I personally feel this very question is somewhat objectionable. Because in the sense, why we are harping on this division? When you talk about a Sanatan Dharm, it is very inclusive. And now that you ask me, have you forgotten the days when the National Party Congress used to go to Imam and get the fatwa that this time we are going to vote for a particular party? Have we forgotten that day? Have we forgotten what is happening in Bengal when one community N block votes for a particular party in Bengal? That is not communal, right? It is
no,
only
but you just
people.
Said that
why
there is
do
no
people
community.
Have objection with Hindus?
No, right? Not at all. If there is, I'm only you're
Nidhi,
saying that community
Nidhi,
don't
I
exist.
Must tell you,
religious
we,
divisions don't
we,
exist.
We
I'm only
get,
making the point we, that polarization
to,
is also at play. And
no,
it is,
no. I think we have to get out. We have to get out. You have never asked me a question that why there is only a Muslim chief minister in Jammu and Kashmir. Why can't there be a Hindu chief minister in Jammu and Kashmir?
If people vote that way, sure.
You have never asked that question.
If people vote that way, sure.
As far as Nidhi, let us move. Let us talk about Vikas, and that's what exactly. Let us accept the verdict of the people.
I want to ask you, Mr. Trivedi, also on the point of family rule. As my colleague Srinivasan Jain has pointed out in a column that he's written for NDTV this week, that at least 7 chief ministers of major Indian states today are dynasts. So the dynast argument actually doesn't hold, whether it's Stalin, Naveen Patnaik, Ajit Pawar in Maharashtra, Uddhav Thackeray, Mr. Bommai in Karnataka, Jagan Reddy, KCR, Hemant Soren. They're all dynasts. They're all from parties. Your party, the BJP, hasn't shied away from taking people who are, who are dynasts either. Whether it is Mr. Sindhya, whether it is other leaders, you know, they are all people who have come from dynasts, from political families. The question, therefore, is that does it actually come down to competence more than lineage? Voters will punish even dynastic politicians like they did the Gandhis in Amethi if they don't see them perform. Is that the issue? And somewhere that is where the BJP is actually scoring in a positive way, because you're delivering on the ground, which is giving you results.
Nidhi, now that you have asked me a long question, I hope you have patience to listen also. When we talk about dynasts, we talk about the top position. You see what is happening with the grand old party, the Congress. They can't go beyond the Gandhi family. As far as UP is concerned, as far as Samajwadi Party is concerned, they can't go beyond Mulayam Singh. As far as the South is concerned, they cannot go beyond a family. So when we talk about dynasty, it is the top position. It is the entitlement. If you see the Trinamool Congress, it is the entitlement of the relation, the blood relation. And what you are talking about are in the periphery. They don't matter in the topmost decision making, which is done collectively. It is not done by any individual.
The only difference is in a dynasty,
a decision is taken by a family. In BJP, decision is taken by all put together. There is a process which comes from the ground. It doesn't come from top down. It has come from down
but
to top.
But then the dynasts
and
are
that
from
is
the ground
why they
up.
Are
no.
winning.
The
and
dynasts
the time has come where people
up.
Have understood, Didi.
I'm saying the dynasts are also from
Didi,
the ground up.
I'm
asking you whether it is too simplistic to say that people are against family parties. Is it too... Actually, it argues in favor of the way the BJP campaigns, which is based on both polarization and its own welfare schemes, both have worked for the party, is my point.
Do you know the maximum of women in this country are voting for BJP? And do you know why they are voting? Even the Muslim women. The Muslim women, take the case
how do you know?
Of,
the Muslim
take
women
the case
are voting?
Of hijab. Take the, because the percentage.
From
I do not know. Why should you have objection, Nidhi?
No, I'm asking.
Why should your
I'm also asking
have
about this claim that maximum
wins.
Women in the country are voting for the BJP. Because right now we've had a state election.
Absolutely. You ask Dr. Pranay Roy who does the analysis.
Yeah, so the gap between
Nidhi.
Male and women voters even in UP was anywhere between 2% more for the BJP up to 14%. It's quite a wide gap. But more women also voted in Bengal for the TMC. So how can you say more women across the country are voting for the BJP? I'm just asking
Nidhi,
you where your data is coming from.
Nidhi, that is, if you want to talk about Bengal, that's a different place altogether. Bengal is becoming worse than the Kashmir fires, you know that. So let's not talk about Bengal, it's a different Pandora's box.
I'm talking about women
let's
voters.
Talk about, see elections, Nidhi, elections have taken in 5 different states. Not a single case of violence. After the victory, no families were driven off like in Bengal. After the victory in Bengal, the Hindus had to leave their villages.
Well,
you
we
know
were talking about women voters.
So let us understand the realities of India. Let us understand the reality of Bengal. You know, Bengal today is becoming another worse than Kashmir, where the Hindus have to migrate after the TMC won election. And migrate by who? It is that minority there. They force the women to migrate. So let me not get into that. I don't understand this phobia which you all have of the Sanatan Dharm. That is what keeping India alive. And please,
sir,
now
we don't
the
have
new
the phobia,
India has
but we do
awakened.
Hope that the ruling party
it
doesn't
awaken.
Have it. We do hope that the ruling
you,
party doesn't have it.
The,
Mr.
The
Patnaik,
people, Nidhi,
Mr. Trivedi, sorry. Thank you
Nidhi,
so much.
Nidhi,
thank,
the
yeah.
people.
Sorry, I just have to go to the panel. I'll give
Nidhi,
you the last
you are
word.
Not liking the... Nidhi, please understand, the youth of India, the people of India has awakened. Like Swami Vivekananda said, awake. This awakening has taken place because of Vishwas,
okay.
because of Vikas, and because of Saat. And
okay.
that is what you are far away from reality. Otherwise, you won't be asking such questions.
No,
thank
no.
you very much for having
no,
me.
No, no, no.
Thank
we,
you. Nidhi.
We have a right
thank
to
you.
Ask questions. That doesn't mean we are unreal. It doesn't mean we are anti-national.
Of course, you have a right. And that's why we are answering.
Yes. Thank you.
That's
thank
why
you,
we are
Dinesh Trivedi. Good to see you again. Thank you so much for
thank
taking
you.
Those questions. Let me go straight across to the panel now and to look at where the opposition stands now ahead of 2024. Amar Patnaik, Rajya Sabha MP of the BJD, is joining us this evening. Abhishek Surdeer, a supporter of the Samajwadi Party. We have Niranjan Shetty of the BJP. We have Supriya Srinath, national spokesperson of the Congress, Reena Gupta from the Aam Aadmi Party, and Ashutosh, columnist and author, also joining us this evening. Let me first ask Supriya Srinath about this. What Mr. Trivedi was just saying, Supriya Srinath, is that the youth of this country in particular, they have awakened. He invoked the words of Swami Vivekananda. Now, isn't there a grain of truth in what Mr. Trivedi says when he says that this was a vote on Vishwas, Supriya, because you can't just see it in the prism of only polarization. That's certainly a big part of it. But the fact is, would you concede, having had time to look at how these results went down, that welfare schemes and that messaging of delivering, you know, to people, voters on the ground, that has worked somewhere?
No, with all due respect to Mr. Trivedi, and the one thing that I want to say, and maybe half jest, but in all seriousness, is it takes very few minutes for somebody to convert to the BJP and start speaking their language. It's almost indoctrination, the awakening of Vivekanand. You know, how the kind of words that he was using. Mr. Trivedi was once a secular person who was standing against what the BJP was doing, but guess so be it. I think power entices those. But I think to the larger point that he was making, and I have deep dived into data now, very, very strictly as far as UP is concerned and other states as well, I don't understand what Vikas Dubey talk about. Because in Uttar Pradesh, the election was fought on Abba Jan and 80-20. And I'm sorry, just like you can't use the word that was used against a particular community by Yogi Adityanath, that is what the election was. Polarization was the biggest factor, and there is no denying that. And this, you know, this misleading statement that each time a BJP spokesperson comes and gives this, women are voting for us, including the Muslim women. Absolutely not. There is data that shows that there might be a 2% average women voter who's voted more for you, but they're not 15% like others are saying. I also want to place on record one important thing. If you had indeed done Vikas in a state like Uttar Pradesh, you would have fought the election on that. But you did not talk about the Vikas, because for Vikas, you were showing the bridges of West Bengal and the roads of America and the airports of China in your ads. You did not have real Vikas to show. Even on the job website in UP, you were showing Korean and Chinese children. You did not find any suitable candidate from a 20 crore population.
But would it be flawed to look at it only as a campaign that was done on polarization? I'm not saying it's not a factor, like I was telling Dinesh Trivedi as well. But are you in denial if you're not trying to grasp the bigger picture here that, look, they beat anti-incumbency and they did pretty well, held on to their vote, actually did better in terms of vote share, and that the welfare schemes, their delivery, their messaging, that would have something to do with it as well?
I am reasonably certain that it wasn't just polarization that won them the election. It was the biggest factor, laced with a little bit of delivery that they keep talking about. But the reality is that any other government of the day would have done what they have done through corona crisis. And the one big point that I think everybody in the BJP comes and makes about dynast, and I think you were right in asking him the question, they take all our dynast and they're happy with them. But when it comes to the Congress or any other party, they're willing to point fingers. These dynasts are being democratically elected. No dynast is a king who comes and sits there. All of these people who had, you know, parents or fathers or families in politics are being electorally, are being electorally blessed by the electorate, and which is why they occupy offices. Can you deny that fact? Just like you cannot deny that today a Poonam Mahajan is elected and a Jayant Sinha is elected and a Piyush Goyal and a Jyotiraditya Scindia and an RPN Singh. I mean, I can go on and on. But the list is exactly the same for the opposition and the states that you spoke about. All of these people have been blessed by the electorate through a democratically conducted election. And you can't deny that.
Okay. I'm first in this program trying to look at, you know, how the opposition is analyzing the BJP's win and why. Mr. Patnaik, if I could ask you, from the BJD's perspective, how do you see these results and what, you know, what the reasons were for it and what challenges, therefore, it actually, you know, provides to the opposition ahead of the general election?
Nidhi, actually, the situation or the context in Orissa is very different. I don't think that the people of Orissa have ever supported any kind of a cause which is based on polarization or on kind of a massive caste-based politics. The only issue for Orissa, as we would have seen in the last 22 years that our Chief Minister Naveen Patnaik has been in power, is to deliver and perform before the people, ensure that their conditions improve, health, education, food grains, poverty decreases. Now, so the only thing on which the BJU Janata Dal has ever fought the elections in the last five elections has been to be with the people in their social sectors, handle their disasters for them, give them relief whenever they are in distress, whenever they are in any kind of distress, that's in kind of COVID, be with them. You know, very interestingly, our leader announced 2 years ago that the BJU Janata Dal is no more a party of Biju Babu or Naveen Babu. It's a party of the people of Orissa. It's a social movement. And the direction to the party cadres is to be with the people as if it is their own party. Now, the recent elections, panchayat elections, you would be surprised to know, for the first time in the history of Orissa, all the Jilla Parishad, all the 30 district Jilla Parishads have been won by Biju Janata Dal after 5 terms. And 90% of the panchayat, the block panchayats have been won by Biju Janata Dal. So, I don't think the current result of the elections in favor of BJP will have any influence whatsoever, in any way influence whatsoever, the elections of 2024 in Orissa.
But if you had to give a piece of
people
advice,
of Orissa are with Biju Janata
Dal. Just to look at the national picture, if you had to give a piece of advice to the opposition, taking off from the Orissa model, is it that you need to be, in a sense, with people 24/7, you can't fight election campaigns 3 months before the elections happen, that it has to be a process?
Absolutely rightly said. In fact, the message to our Juva and, you know, the youth wing and the Chhatra wing is that throughout the year, we have a social organization, Smoh Parivar, it's my family, and their work is basically to do things like, you know, when somebody is distressed, to take the mortal remains of his family to the crematorium, or if you are thinking in terms of taking him to the hospital, if you are thinking about blood donation camps. Do you know that it is our only political party in the country which organizes blood donation camps almost at regular intervals every month? And during the time of COVID, we collected the maximum number of units so that people who are suffering because of blood bank, shortage in blood bank, could actually overcome this problem. So this is the message I would like to give, that people have become very aware now. People in a state like Orissa, which was very poor at some point of time and didn't have actually access to a number of benefits, ultimately people are with their leader who thinks about them 24/7, who is always there with thick and thin, who is always there whenever there is an issue of distress.
So the question then, of course, also lies with who the opposition face would be, versus Mr. Modi. And one of the contenders now, you already have so many of them. You have the Chief Minister of Telangana, KCR, who fancies his chances as being a face. You, of course, have, I don't know if Rahul Gandhi still sees himself as a contender, but we'll get to that in just a moment. And then you have Mamata Banerjee, and now you have Arvind Kejriwal. Reena Gupta of the Aam Aadmi Party is with us as well. Is it actually advantage BJP, Reena Gupta, when voters are faced with the choice of, okay, you have Mr. Modi on one hand, who is clearly still very, very popular with voters, even after 2 terms, and then you have a sort of a number of opposition leaders on the other hand, no clear face to take him on. Does that actually help the BJP?
Actually, Nidhi, I think what you were just saying, now the time has come where, you know, you need people on the ground of political parties helping throughout the year, and you cannot have election campaigns 3 months in advance. And also, you know, we have to realize that elections are won on the ground, not on Twitter and on Facebook. So I can speak from my experience, our experience in Delhi, Nidhi. We've realized that people have started to believe in Aam Aadmi Party, in Arvind Kejriwal as an honest leader, and also as a leader who delivers on his promises. And this is what worked for us in Punjab, where, you know, we were working through the last 5 years to build the party cadre on the ground and to take this message of honest politics, honest governance to the people of Punjab. And that is the reason why people have voted for us. If you see what was happening in UP was that somehow the message of the opposition, the narrative of the opposition was not really reaching the people. Even though there was such strong anti-incumbency, Congress party could not really connect to the voters because their cadre on the ground was missing. And it's not possible that 3 months ahead of the elections, you go to a state and you start asking for votes from people where people haven't seen you for the last 5 years. So I think as we deliver on our promises in Punjab, Nidhi, Aam Aadmi Party, Arvind Kejriwal will receive even more and more trust of the people, and we will be able to expand into other states with this model of governance.
No, but my question actually is, and let me get Ashutosh in on that. Ashutosh, Does it, I mean, my question is, does it help the BJP if it's a sort of a gallery of opposition leaders versus Mr. Modi? Ultimately, it has become a personality contest as well, hasn't it, Ashutosh?
See, Nidhi, the problem with opposition leaders is that they don't have the national perspective. If they had national perspective, they should have realized that what are the threats to the democracy in the country, what are the threats to the constitutionalism in this country. They do not have. And that's why the reason that Mamata Banerjee goes to Goa and Aam Aadmi Party also goes to Goa and divide votes and help BJP to win elections. Similar thing happened in Uttarakhand also. If you go back in time, when the Congress Party was a hegemonic party, and in 88, 87, if you look at, there was a Devi Lal, there was a Jyoti Basu, there was a Lal Kishore Advani. They had a national perspective. They realized that if Congress has to be defeated, all of them has to come together. They came together. They formed a most unholy alliance ever, because at one point, at one end was a BJP and at the another end was CPM. And all of them supported Vishwanath Pratap Singh and other party like Janata Dal. Where is that consensus today? Is that consensus today? And if with this, if Aam Aadmi Party think that they can be a national alternative in 2024, I'm sorry to say this, they are living in some fool's paradise. It doesn't happen. In Punjab, they came to power not in a day's time. They came to power after having a struggle of eight years. In 2014, when Aam Aadmi Party did not get a single seat in Delhi, they had four member of parliament in 2014. They were totally decimated in 2019 parliamentary election. In Maja and Goa, they had 2 or 3% of vote share. So to say that Aam Aadmi Party won because of their positive wave for them, I do not agree with that. But the point is, it is the Congress Party who shot in the temple and killed itself. And that's one reason. Otherwise, the Aam Aadmi Party was totally decimated after 2017 assembly elections, when the municipal election happened. When Gurdaspur by-election happened, Aam Aadmi Party was totally decimated. Where was the organization? Most of their MLAs, they migrated to the Congress Party. Most of the office bearers at that point of time do not exist today. So the point is that the victory of Aam Aadmi Party in Punjab should not be taken to such hyperbolic level that Aam Aadmi Party is going to come fair, at the national level Arvind Kejriwal will be a threat to...
I actually honestly think that Arvind Kejriwal is probably smarter than that and is looking at the next general election and not this one. I mean, that's my sense, because maybe they learned some lessons from the way they jumped into the national fray in 2014. I'll just come to Reena and to Supriya in just a second. I want to ask Mr. Niranjan Shetty, though, when... Is it healthy for any party to claim victory 2 years before a general election? Is there a danger of overconfidence as well? Even in the BJP, which is clearly, I'm saying, in pole position, it is the strongest contender. But this country has thrown up surprises in the past. Mrs. Gandhi didn't think she would be defeated in 1977, and she was. So would you say that some caution is in order as well, Mr. Shetty?
Nidhi, I think first of all, it is not the BJP which claims that it's a big victory. Like, it's after all the media who comes before us and seeks that we need to celebrate. And after all, it's a victory of one of these largest states of India.
Sir, the Prime Minister said it in his speech. We don't get to ask questions.
It is one of the largest states of India. And of course, this kind of victory matters. And it, of course, repercussions also the kind of what people's mindset is when they will go towards 2024. Haven't we seen that all the parties, whether in Maharashtra or in other states, that they are claiming, in case, now let us take a hypothetical situation, had we lost in UP, what would have been the situation? Media would have been discussing about the failure of the states being lost and then the repercussions in 2024. So let us not discuss that. Apart from that, it's a victory after all, and it's a mandate given by the UP voters. Let's celebrate that. Let's enjoy that, and let the BJP enjoy it.
So you're not sort of willing to lay bets on how the general election will go?
Of course, let us wait for the general election. It's too far, and I think it's the opposition to think how they will combat with us. And apart from that, it is the Modi which the people have given mandate to. And I think it will be, at present, we all know that the opposition is totally divided, and irrespective of that, they have already been, all this, take for example Mamata Banerjee, she was herself in the Congress. Take for example Sharad Pawar, he himself was one of the congressmen, and now today they are all separately working either for their own livelihood or all for to make the name for the big. He's NCP. TMC over there, and they have become larger than life now, and so they will never come together with Congress.
Okay. Actually, that's an important point.
G23 people also to come together and request people to ask such like-minded people to come together.
Yes, you're actually right, Mr. Shetty, about the diminishing sort of stature of the Congress as well in the opposition. Supriya, I'll just come to you after that because I just want to get an opening comment from Abhishek Sudhir on that. Just on this point of how does the opposition rally together. Ashutosh is right, and Mr. Shetty is right, that at the moment it's all over the place. The TMC and the Congress have been sniping at each other. You have KCR who's looking at cobbling together a non-Congress, non-BJP front. So is there any hope for the opposition at all in 2024, or should you all be focusing on 2029?
Well, Nidhi, of course there's hope. Of course there's hope. I can just speak on behalf of the party that I support. Mr. Yadav has put out his email address, yadavakhilesh@gmail.com. So if you have any suggestions on how the SP can do better or how an alliance can be forged in the opposition, or you want to join the Samajwadi Party, send your biodata, your resume, your CV to yadavakhilesh@gmail.com or reach out to me. The Samajwadi Party is hiring. The Samajwadi Party is looking for talent. The Samajwadi Party is building for the future. The next big election is the MLC election, which is due in April. But more importantly is the Nagar Nigam polls in December, where 17 Nagar Nigams of Uttar Pradesh go to the polls. Nidhi, in politics, every election matters. You cannot write off 2024 and 2022 and say we will build for 2029. You have to fight 2024 like it's the election of your life. Samajwadi Party fought the 22 elections like it's the election of its life. And it'll fight the elections in December when the Nagar Nigam polls happen like it's the election of its life. What I'm going to say, Nidhi, is this. The Samajwadi Party has been branded a Muslim party, a Yadav party. But I can tell you, Nidhi, that I provided some inputs for the manifesto. I am neither a Muslim nor a Yadav. The manifesto committee has Muslims, Yadavs, Thakurs. It has people from all castes and all communities. Samajwadi Party has to fight a perception battle. It's a perception that has been created by the BJP successfully. How do we fight this perception battle? One week after the loss, I think the general consensus seems to be that the 42% vote share of the BJP is difficult to break. It's difficult to break because it's essentially a Brahmin Baniya Thakur party today. And it has managed to take in a lot of non-Jata votes. It has made inroads into the Kurvi and Nishad community. The Samajwadi Party is going to go for the 58.6% of people who did not vote for the BJP.
Right, and Abhishek, we're just going to fix your video, but it's interesting what you're saying because obviously you've had to some time to do a little bit of honest introspection about the challenge of the BJP. I'll just come back to you, but Supriya Srinath, just on this point about the state of the Congress, because that's so central to this. Now, given the state of the Congress today, do you think the party is ready to take a back seat and to be a sort of a not to be the lead player in any opposition alliance, because that's important. The Congress has till now, because it's been the principal opposition party, assumed a leadership role in an opposition alliance. Is that no longer the case, honestly?
So I'm going to give a very honest answer to your question, but I will also say to my friends from the BJP that I think you have underestimated the index of opposition unity. You made the mistake in Bihar when the Mahagathbandhan had happened, and then of course Nitish Kumar made the somersault. But the index of opposition unity is what you fear. And let's not talk about people leaving, because your 19 allies have left you since 2014, since you came to power. Some of them as old as the Shiromani Akali Dal and the Shiv Sena. So let's, and Hanpak, Beniwal from Rajasthan. So let's not go to who leaves whom. As far as your direct question is concerned, Nidhi, and it amuses me, and I will tell you why it amuses me. You know, there's this new narrative and everybody's talking about a new player in town displacing the Congress. What does the Congress stand for? I think we stand for an inclusive, secular India. But our party is willing to come here. I am all for, Mohalla clinics and Shiksha and infrastructure and all of that that all of us talk about. But our party is willing to come here and spell out their ideology on contentious things like secularism, on minority oppression, on polarized politics. Because I have not heard a word on BJP's polarized politics from the Aam Aadmi Party. When the riots hit Delhi, we did not see Chief Minister Kejriwal tour the riot hit areas. He was sitting in Rajghat. For that matter, he has never questioned the Gujarat model of what had happened to the Gujarat riots. He has never once questioned the hegemony of money that has come to dominate Indian politics. So it's very convenient for one to keep, you know, playing the B team or playing this shy game. All I'm saying is for anybody to believe that an opposition can come together without the Congress being the problem. And I'm not saying from a position of advantage, disadvantage, what is the state of our affairs right now? Is there internal strife? Absolutely there is. There are issues that the Congress has to sort out. But can there be an opposition cobbled together without the Congress being a fulcrum? Numbers will tell you it is not possible. Our national footprint and presence will tell you it is not possible. After the BJP, it is the Congress that has 753 MLAs. And everybody else pales in comparison. And this is, I'm not saying from a position of, you know, being arrogant about it. This is just numbers.
But,
this is
but Supriya,
what our physical
but
geographical
Supriya,
presence
look,
is. So you can't expect
you guys. But you guys are down from being in power in 9 states in 2014 to having 2 chief ministers today. And by the way, you're all in a state of decline in states, whereas the AAP actually now is the only regional party with two chief ministers as well. And their graph is rising. So I'm only saying that would the Congress be willing to take a step back if that is what was the opposition needed and say, okay, we'll back a Kejriwal as the face or we'll back Mamata as the face?
No. So I am willing to back anybody as a face as long as I know what their stand on contentious issues is. Have you heard Mr. Kejriwal take on the polarizing politics of the BJP? Have you heard Mr. Kejriwal go and meet the CA and NRC victims? Have you heard Mr. Kejriwal call out Anurag Thakur and Kapil Mishra? No. And which is where ideology comes in. There cannot be an opposition put together without someone knowing the ideology and contentious issues. As far as you're, you know, letting anybody else take the leaders, are you telling me a party with 753 MLAs
okay.
Country
Reena Gupta.
Take a back seat and give primacy to a party with 156 MLAs? I mean, that's a very non-political statement, if I can say you make it.
All right. Well, that's going to be, if this program is anything to go by, opposition unity is going to be a very long and difficult road. Reena Gupta, you wanted to come in, yes.
Yes, you know, Nidhi, first of all, I want to ask Ms. Supriya that what was their model in Punjab? You know, for the 5 years that they ruled, there were all sorts of corruption. I'm yet to hear from them. What is their stand on corruption? Why did they allow this high level of corruption that after, you know, they've ruled Punjab for at least 25 years, Congress? That you still don't have schools, you still don't have hospitals, you still don't have roads. So what is their stand on corruption? Let's hear from the Congress. Secondly, we have never said that defeating Bharatiya Janata Party and their hegemony of, you know, of electoral bonds, media, all of that is going to be easy. But we have always said that we are here to do kaam ki rajniti, we are here to do positive development. It might take us 5 years, it might take us 10 years, but we are ready to be here for the long fight. The states where we contested this time around, Uttarakhand, UP and in Goa, now we'll be there for the next 5 years, and you see 5 years later that we are going to come back with very good votes share, and we are going to show a very good result.
Reena ji, if I could ask you like the same question I actually asked Supriya a minute ago, which is that if tomorrow the AAP had to support Mamata for Prime Minister, would you? If that's what it took to bring an opposition coalition together?
We will see what happens that time, but we are ready to support people on common grounds for sure. We're absolutely ready to support people on common grounds.
Abhishek is back with us. Abhishek, go ahead. Abhishek Sudhir.
Well, Nidhi, like I was just saying, I hear Reena saying they're going to now fight UP. I mean, is it really worth cutting into the SP's votes? That's my simple question. We've analyzed the seats. 77 seats was what we needed to form the government. We just needed 5 lakh seats across these 77 seats. That's an increase of 0.6% of our vote share, and the SP would be forming the government. The AIMM has cut our votes in several seats. They've directly cost us 20 seats. The BSP with its 13% vote share has cost us seats. The Congress has also harmed us in certain seats. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth fighting amongst ourselves, right, to decide who will be the Prime Minister? If you want to defeat Narendra Modi, you need to stop cutting each other's votes. You please stop cutting SP's votes in Uttar Pradesh. Samajwadi Party will weaken the BJP in UP. We cut their tally down from 62 to 31 and they can't form the government. It's as simple as that, Nidhi. The opposition needs to come together. The opposition needs to be strategic and we need to fight together.
I think Mr. Shetty is enjoying this. Mr. Shetty, do you want to jump in here before I come to Ashutosh?
I will live with them because I can hear the different voices here itself. And in spite of, as we are discussing on the panel, it's an undivided opposition. And I, as I told you, see, all these, either Mamata Banerjee or Sharad Pawar, they all left Congress for, you know, achieving something. And they were humiliated once upon a time in Congress itself. So now today, expecting a unified opposition to counter with Narendra Modi, it's out of question. Apart from that, having said that, even the mandate is with Mr. Narendra Modi. 2024, I know it's pretty long. But by the time, see, I think the Congress has missed a lot. They were given a lot of opportunity, more than five decades, they have ruled these countries, they have ruled various states. But in spite of that, today, as the AAP party spokesperson has been saying, that it is the Punjab, which was their own, the fort, where we never thought Congress would ever lose. But then now today, see what is the position in Punjab itself. So they are losing grounds apart from that, and basically every state they are losing, probably only two states. Tomorrow they might not even have one state to rule.
Well, yes, there is, of course,
in the Maharashtra,
an internal party feud right now.
Of opposition division and the mindset.
Right. Ashutosh, just on this point then of a non-Congress front, because this keeps coming up every few years, and, you know, KCR is kind of floating it again, non-Congress, non-BJP front. Is that even a starter? Is that a complete non-starter, Ashutosh, you think? Or with the Congress's decline, is that something that could materialize? Maybe not now, but in a few years. Unless, of course, the Congress does see a turnaround.
Nidhi, I'm an eternal optimist. I will not say that the opposition unity is not possible. But I think that the first yardstick for the opposition unity is whether they realize that there is the constitutionalism is threatened, the democracy is threatened, the secularism is threatened. See, the first question should be asked to the Aam Aadmi Party, whether they believe that that the BJP is a communal party or a secular party. If they could say it's a secular party, then obviously they are in some other camp. But if they believe to say that it is a communal party, then they have to find out something else. I was just hearing our friend in Samajwadi Party. You know, the 16 MLC tickets have been announced by Samajwadi Party. And out of 16, you know, how many Yadavs have got the ticket? 14. And the rest, Muslims. That's how they want to fight election. And you believe that you are a party that doesn't believe in casteism. But when you are given tickets, and you know that, you know fully well that this fact will be used by BJP ad nauseam. And then the Samajwadi Party will be reduced to a party of Muslims and Yadavs. And if that happens again, where the Samajwadi Party will go beyond 27% vote.
But can I ask you, where? You're right. But can I ask you this, Ashutosh, when you say that the Aam Aadmi Party needs to spell out whether it is secular or not secular or whether, etc. The very fact that Arvind Kejriwal is not doing that, that's part of his strategy, isn't it? Because he knows that that's playing into the hands of the BJP. He's playing a different
game. What's his ideology?
But maybe he's doing it on purpose. I mean, whether it's right or wrong is different, but maybe that's paying off for him electorally. Do you think that, Ashutosh?
I think I'm the student of history. Did BJP ever shy of calling Congress party a pseudo-secular? They did not. Did they hide that they are going to repeal Article 370 if they get majority? Did not. So, if you belong to certain ideology, you have to profess. Why are you having a guilt that if you say this, this will be exploited by the opponent? If this is the way, they are already in the defensive mode, then forget it. You can't defeat Modi and you can't defeat BJP. So my first question is, Aam Aadmi Party spokesperson present over here should say whether they believe that BJP is communal or not.
Right. Abhishek, you wanted to quickly respond to what Ashutosh was saying.
And yeah, if he has said that 14 Yadavs have got tickets and two Muslims, I'll accept that as the gospel truth and a fact. But what I do want to say is the Samajwadi Party has significantly expanded its social base. You know, it's very easy to just sit there and say the Samajwadi Party is a Muslim party, a Yadav party. But if you look at the breakup of the MLAs, and let me also say, Nidhi, the Yadavs have not voted for the Samajwadi Party in the numbers they were expecting them to. The Samajwadi Party has been hurt in the Yadav belt. So I think this is a lazy trope. This is lazy political analysis. This is analysis that I've been hearing for the last 20 years, and I'm 35 years old. The party has moved beyond its MY combination. people like me, Nidhi, have a voice in this party today as a member. I am from Bangalore. I'm not even from the north, right? I wrote an email to the party. They took me on board. This is the Samajwadi Party today, Nidhi. And I think people like Ashutosh don't do us any favors. I read his articles where he says, you need to build a credible alternative to Narendra Modi. But if you're going to run down the Samajwadi Party that is trying to expand its social base, you're doing more harm. I hear Prashant Kishore in Calcutta say, Akhilesh Yadav failed to build a narrative. We have all these false prophets who tell us they will fix the opposition, that they will guide us to victory. Prashant Kishore was the one who got Narendra Modi elected in the first place. Chai Pe Charcha was something Prashant Kishore came up with. We need liberals who now are ready to roll up their sleeves, join political parties and make a difference. Otherwise, you'll keep having movies like the Kashmir Files. You know, you'll have a one-sided narrative. The liberals have been relegated to the margins of Indian public discourse today. Liberals have to join the fight.
All right, quick response, Nidhi, Ashutosh.
I think my dear friend had forgotten that the Yadavas have in 2017 have voted 68% to Samajwadi Party. This time they have voted 83%. So don't hide behind some wrong
what
fact.
What is your point? What is your point?
I did not disturb.
What point are you trying to make? Are you trying to say this is a one-caste party?
Let him speak.
That we pander to one caste? Look at the MLAs who've been elected. Look at the Brahmin MLAs, the Thakur MLAs, the Muslim MLAs.
I can't have an argument.
Okay, Abhishek, let him answer. Please. This was the only part of TV I didn't miss.
From which political perspective a political party which wants to fight BJP is giving 14 Yadavas out of 16? If this is not the Yadava, then what is?
All right. I have to leave it there, though. Fascinating discussion. It's a template for what the next couple of years are going to be like. Mr. Shetty is very relaxed while the rest of the opposition fights it out. Thank you very much to all of you for joining us on this issue. And we've got lots of comments on social media platforms, including Koo. There's Gaurav, who said that can state elections decide the results of a general election? Well, that is what Prashant Kishore was saying, but who knows? There is Paragav, who has said that the way turnaround can happen in Punjab in 2022 can also happen in 2024. There is Manohar, who says that the road to 2024 starts from UP, passes from Delhi and ends at West Bengal. So now nothing can be said about who will drive in 2024. That's it on The Big Fight this week. Goodbye.